choices, new players, new models of care. You know consumer-first healthcare is everywhere. For us to build the future, to see what's new, we gotta look at the world from a different point of view. Consumer innovation ain't going away. I say it's here to stay. Today it leads the way. We gotta drop the silos. We're all the same team. Experience, business, tech, and marketing. So join us now. Join the revolution. Consumer first health is the evolution. Status quo or like status no. Yeah, this is the healthcare rap. Yo, come on, let's go.
Welcome back again to the leading podcast about consumer innovation. I'm Jared Johnson, and here's what's going to go down today. We have the flavor of the week about shifting to a consumer experience mindset. What does it take for marketing to play a leading role in consumer transformation? And how can we gain more traction with CX initiatives in established healthcare organizations? I'll talk about that. Then we're honored to welcome Dr. Cameron Matthews, Chief Health Officer at CityBlock Health. We dive into the relationship between feeling seen and having a better healthcare experience. We discuss the care model behind compassionate care. And we take an early look at CityBlock's new health hub in Indianapolis. It's time to dive right in. Are you ready? Let's go.
Flavor of the week.
If we are to shift our thinking to a consumer experience mindset, we have to reframe internal needs around consumers' needs. I had the fortune of being named program chair of Healthcare Marketing 360, the first year in-person event hosted by ICD Media in Nashville in March. It was a two-day event jam-packed with leader-level discussions and presentations about facets of marketing that are being newly explored and or covered less commonly. We made a concerted effort to include human-centered design and consumer experience as themes, which I think is one reason why I particularly appreciated hearing from Denise Warren. Now, some of you will recognize her name and know her personally. Denise has been a guest here on Healthcare Rap on episode 269, and I encourage you to listen if you haven't yet. Again, episode numbers can be found at the end of the show notes. Denise served as VP of Consumerism for Memorial Hermann in the Houston area for 4 years and recently joined Legrand as Principal for Health Innovation and Transformation. Her general session was titled Enhancing the Consumer Journey Through Moments That Matter, and I appreciated how she was able to describe problems that marketing and consumer teams can both be asked to address in healthcare, such as improving service line experience. She shared how at Memorial Hermann, they understood that there isn't just one service line experience. Working with service lines meant they could only address small segments of journeys one at a time. So part of the task at hand was to help the organization understand that what consumers are trying to achieve is generally universal, even though their journeys and needs are unique. So to have the greatest impact on the most people, you have to remove the big rocks from the stream. One of those reframes for Memorial Hermann was to organize around critical moments that matter, as they refer to them, and develop scalable system-wide interventions that address the biggest pain points and maximize limited resources. As a result, their team identified 7 moments that matter: find and access care, share my health concerns and history, feel comfortable, understand my health journey, navigate my care journey, afford and pay for care, and manage my health between visits. This was a significant process and finding because they defined success as meaning that people's lives are made less complex and more enjoyable. The thing that stood out to me the most was a single slide comparing a marketing mindset to a consumer experience mindset. And if there's one thing I hope every listener remembers, it's this. A marketing mindset is making people want things. A consumer experience mindset is making things that people want. I'll say it again just because I can. A marketing mindset is making people want things. A consumer experience mindset is making things that people want. Why do I bring this up? Marketing leaders continue to have this opportunity in front of them right now to be catalysts in drawing more people to get the care that they need. This benefits healthcare organizations' bottom lines and society at large. At the core is the ability to understand consumers during the 80 to 90% of their lives that they are not patients, so that we can more accurately design experiences that meet their expectations when they are patients. So I want to issue a renewed call for marketers to play a leading role in consumer transformation. Why? You have a lot going for you. You know the people you're serving. You also know the clinicians and care teams and support staff that provide them care. And regardless of the limitations and budgets and competing priorities, you see the need to champion consumer experience. It's simply who you are. So we can't stop now, people. Let's prioritize shifting to a consumer experience mindset and watch what happens as we build more meaningful experiences for everyday people around moments that matter. That's another way that we'll build the healthcare of tomorrow. And that's the flavor of the week. Hey, everyone, let's get into the flow. Please give it up for our guests. I'm so honored to welcome Dr. Cameron Matthews. She's the Chief Health Officer at City Block Health. Today, we're going to dive into a few really important topics, things like the relationship between feeling seen and having a better healthcare experience. We're going to discuss the care model behind what City Block refers to as compassionate care. And we're going to take an early look at their new health hub in Indianapolis. So let's get started here. Dr. Matthews, welcome to the Healthcare Wrap.
Thanks so much, Jared. I'm excited to be here.
We do have a lot to cover. Let's help our listeners get to know you a little bit better.
Of course, of course. So I am a family physician and am excited to serve as Chief Health Officer with City Block Health. I've been there about 2 years now, and it's really ended up being, I'd like to say it simply, as my dream job, given most of my career has really been focused on helping marginalized communities and hopefully doing so in a manner that we're actually addressing health equity and community-based needs. So City Block in and of itself really encompasses that. So it's a great opportunity to work in this space in a very innovative way. I'll say it like that.
Oh, I love that. Well, in fact, let's get into that a little bit more. Can you give us a layperson's description of City Block?
Yeah. City Block is an advanced primary care practice that offers value-based care to marginalized communities with a focus on Medicaid and low-income Medicare patients, dual eligible. The goal is to really bring about a whole health model, to be honest, for patients that are otherwise, and I would say even sometimes appropriately unengaged with the rest of the healthcare system. We're bringing about really an integrated care model so that we can address their needs. I would hope in a one-stop shop sort of opportunity, and to really make sure that we're achieving health and well-being as opposed to just healthcare delivery alone. So City Block is doing so innovative manner, not just because of our ability to be as data-driven as possible and tech-enabled, but to be blunt, to bring what is otherwise considered evidence-based solutions to populations that need it the most. And it's somewhat sad that that's still considered innovative, but we're really doing so intentionally, again, with a focus on health equity.
Well, yeah, I like drilling down in a couple of things you just said, kind of the what and then the who, right? So the what, you mentioned achieving health and wellness as opposed to just health care. Love to hear. I always feel like, you know, you're using words very intentionally here. Can you tell me about that? You know, about, you know, why that's part of the equation here?
Yeah. Yeah. So healthcare and healthcare delivery is really more transactional in its more traditional form. Our healthcare system tends to be somewhat encounter-based. A service is provided, yes, by clinicians like myself, by fuller care teams, but sometimes in an awfully disjointed manner because it's so episodic in nature, versus really what we're trying to provide to our members within City Block, providing a whole health experience. So we're really taking their needs, their own personal purpose and mission into account in order to help them achieve their own definition of health and well-being. It's not something we've created in any sort of way. I say whole health very purposefully. It's a model that has really been promoted quite successfully through the VA, where I was actually before City Block. And I'm just really excited that we can implement the same really foundational aspects of taking care of a whole person, again, instead of this transactional nature of healthcare. I'm really excited that we can do that in City Block, again, for communities, people that really need it the most.
So I'd love to hear the other side of that equation, Dr. Matthews, which is the who. And you mentioned populations that are, at this point, appropriately unengaged. I love this term. And I think it's an important part of the discussion in terms of when we talk about we're trying to make healthcare better for everyday people. Can you dive into that part of, like, why is that the focus of City Block's work?
It's, at the crux of it, a concept of justice that we really, as a healthcare system, owe to the communities that are accessing services, regardless of their ability to pay and even physically accessing those services, we owe it to them to come up with solutions that are tailored by design to their needs. And I can't necessarily say that's the case across the board. Having worked in, again, multiple settings with different populations that are considered underserved, vulnerable, marginalized, all of these different terms, there are discrete needs that these communities have. And so City Black's goal is not to just improve the health of those communities, of those populations, but to also prove that there's a business model around doing so, that there is a stronger, not only need, but argument around how we can actually support these communities and provide healthcare for all. I don't think that we as a healthcare system have really approached that question as holistically as possible. So City Black is really fitting a niche here where we're trying to find a solution where we otherwise have not found tailor fit interventions or even broader concepts of how we're going to approach these populations from a systematic standpoint. And we saw this, right? We saw this during the pandemic. So I don't even think there's, I actually get somewhat eager when I hear people ask, you know, well, why are we still focused on health equity? I think it's even more frustrating that we have to ask that question at times. So we're meeting a need in City Block, and we're trying to do so by, of course, bringing about evidence-based approaches, but by engaging with communities that are otherwise, again, marginalized, to think of how they receive services through the rest of the health system.
Thank you. Yeah, and you're right. The way the discussion happens or unfolds in a lot of public forums can help, or it can feel frustrating that we're still asking the same questions all this time later. I like just seeing how organizations describe the care they're providing. And so on City Block's website, it's just one of the places that they describe the term compassionate care. And I do think that has to do with exactly with the who and the what we are just describing, the care that's being provided here. So on the website, at least on the City Block site, it says it describes compassionate care as seeing each member as a person and recognizing that your time, stories, and feelings matter. Again, we're talking about very intentional wording here. What are some of the ways that City Block helps people to feel seen?
It is about meeting each individual person that we're engaging with where they are. So this isn't about forcing them to remain on a screen and do virtual first options. This is about having boots on the ground, knocking on their doors, engaging with them and earning their trust before we're pushing them along some sort of pathway with a clinician even. It's about connecting with them in their community, in their homes, through their families, and helping them map out the goals for their own health and well-being. Again, being purposeful about those words, you know, we really want to make sure that we're meeting the goals of our members on a very individualized basis. Of course, needing to scale this. And so having our opportunities within our integrated care teams and our own products to really track and help our individual members achieve those goals. But every individual's interaction with the healthcare system and goals within their own health are going to be different. So the goal for us as a organization is to make sure that we're doing so on a very individualized basis. Again, this is the whole health model, and I never want to take credit for something that is well established, again, and particularly already well implemented, again, within the Veteran Health Administration. The concept of thinking of each person as an individual when we provide them their care and making sure we're focusing on their goals. It sounds simplistic and it sounds like what our health system would have otherwise been doing, but unfortunately, it's not the case. And that's what's so disturbing, that what we're doing, what the VA has been doing, and what many other practices around the country have been doing, it's touted as new, when instead, perhaps it should have been the solution in the first place about how we actually provide healthcare to people.
Yeah, we hear terms like personalizing care, and I hear about it from a digital health standpoint sometimes. I hear about it from a care model side sometimes. And you're right, it can sound so simplistic. Yeah, just personalize it for each person. And there's so much that goes into that. And it does all start with understanding the people that you're providing care for.
Exactly. And understanding that they are not necessarily just a product, but they are in every way needing to engage with their environment. So whether it's in the household or whether it's in the community, we need to have an understanding of that as well, that they are a person engaging in those settings as opposed to just a patient within our walls or on our screens. So that's where the community-based component of City Block is so critical.
I'm so with you here. It's interesting or funny or can even feel frustrating to still be talking about a lot of these topics at this point and hear things that, oh, this is innovative, this is new, where the models aren't new, the approach isn't new, and the need definitely not new. So something's going to change at some point. We're going to have some moments where a critical mass of stakeholders in the industry recognize this and don't just like nod their head when they feel compelled to drive some change here. And I do think part of that helps by connecting the need that we just talked about for personalizing care on an individual basis. That's how we help people feel seen and understand that who they are and where they've come from and their situation and their story, it matters, and we understand them and we're doing something about it. That is very different than a lot of the transactional, you know, sides of healthcare that we do see on an individual basis. So the overall, when we talk with a lot of guests here, we make that connection between the work that they're doing and providing a better healthcare experience. It's one of the grassroots ways, if you will, that we've seen to drive some change, to have a different conversation. It's the individuals who are experiencing the care sharing their story and changing their story because they were cared for in a different way. I wonder if that's how things are seen from your perspective. But when an individual member does feel seen, how are they having a different type of experience?
I think it goes back to, that concept of really doing away with the established episode encounter transaction-based engagement with their care team. So this isn't just about Ms. Smith as a member of City Block having an appointment with me, Dr. Matthews. This is about an entire interdisciplinary care team that is there for her needs above and beyond those individual visits that they may have with me. So she may have a nurse care manager who is helping coordinate different services, maybe with her specialists, maybe if she ends up needing to go to the emergency room, actually meeting her there, coordinating different, you know, medical equipment needs, or perhaps even helping with groceries in the home. We also have a team of community health partners, as we call them, not community health workers, but they partner with our members to also help really coordinate particularly social services, but also navigate through some difficult healthcare needs. This is about being responsible and an advocate for the patient outside of just, again, that visit-based relationship that, unfortunately, I hate to say it, the fee-for-service model typically promotes, because the rest of this care that I'm describing isn't otherwise really incentivized within the healthcare system because the payment system doesn't acknowledge it. But this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where we actually make a difference with our members and where their needs are being more closely tracked and met, as opposed to the 15 minutes maybe that a patient gets with me, even if it is on a monthly basis. Sometimes that's not enough. So a lot of these members, not having been engaged or perhaps negatively engaged with the healthcare system, are really speaking up and reporting their satisfaction with our model because we're there by their side and helping them navigate not just services within City Block, but overall through the healthcare system, through their local ecosystem even.
So how does that work then for a member who they're a part of City Block? Can you walk us just through how it works in general for a member to receive care?
We work with our payer partners to establish different cohorts of members. So unfortunately, Ms. Smith unfortunately can't walk in off the street. It's something we partner with particular payers with, defining who our patients are going to be. We then reach out to them after really looking through their history, looking through their data that the payer partner is sharing with us, and then asking them a great number of questions, really assessing their needs, building a care plan that includes their personal goals as well as other kind of medical goals that we need to meet in order to keep that person healthy. And then they get assigned to one of our longitudinal care teams, and that care plan travels with them. Their either nurse care manager or community health partner will be reaching out to them proactively on a regular basis to check in. And of course, the frequency of that, the ability of the care team to meet their needs, is going to be adjusted based on the history that that patient has, the medical history that they have, the needs that they've had, whether they've been admitted to the hospital, whether they've visited the emergency department multiple times. So we risk stratify our patients in order to really make sure we're taking a very intentional approach to their needs. We like to describe it as they each get the right dose of City Block. So we're not treating them all the same, but we're really tailoring, again, the amount of services, the intensity of services to their larger needs. And again, not just medical.
I love it. All right, well, let's talk about something that's really exciting from CityBlock, which is a new health hub in Indianapolis, which is brand new here. Can you tell us about what's going on there?
Yeah, it's so exciting. We've been in Indiana since late 2021, and we are excited to really have made some important analysis of the needs of our members there and have chosen a location and have opened a new hub as of mid-March. And we're very excited to bring really just a sense of dignity and community through this hub. It's about really making sure that we're serving our members' needs, that we're providing a safe space for them to feel engaged with our care teams. So we're just really excited to open this hub. We have others, of course, scattered around the country, but we otherwise are just excited, again, through our partnerships there in Indiana with MDWise to have opened this new hub. I was there on the ribbon cutting, so I'm excited to have met some members, met the care teams, and we'll just continue to offer these in-person services where, most importantly, where our members need it the most.
So what does that mean to you that you're able to provide this care and benefits in a new location or in a new way? How is that meaningful for you personally and for CityBlock?
I'll look back at my experience at several pretty strong federally qualified health centers on the west and south sides of Chicago. I think sometimes what is difficult in these communities that are really vulnerable is to get the resources together to build a space that is dignified for them, right? That these community members can feel connected to their care teams and not feel as if they're in an under-resourced or sometimes neglected space. And so when you walk into a CityBlock hub, it's the same feeling. You're not feeling as if, oh, this is a Medicaid clinic or this is for marginalized communities. No, we really are building our colors, our branding, our care teams, just access to the building with a real focus on their dignity and a focus on serving the community as well. There's a lot of different health centers around the country that are doing the same, and the VA as well. I don't like to, again, in any way acknowledge that we're the first to do this, but we're very proud to do this for our members that we're serving. And in our other spaces around the country are also getting some really positive attention.
That's great. I love we keep coming back to the word dignity, because a person who feels that other people are giving them dignity or giving them respect are going to approach their care very differently.
Oh my goodness, yes. That they're there for a larger purpose, to assist, but to also empower. I actually feel that the physical space that we occupy can be quite empowering for our members.
Yeah, I agree. It's an important part. It's part of this equation, right? We're building this how to really create consumer-centered care. And I've used the definition a lot before, and it's probably worth, you know, just mentioning again. When I use the word consumer, that has a lot of different definitions in healthcare, right? The reason we've zeroed in on that instead of just patient is to refer to the types of encounters we have with care before we become a patient, before we're actively seen by a care professional or a care team. There's still a lot of choices and expectations we have about our health and care. And so those things they happen before or during the time we're an active patient.
I've had this conversation frequently lately, actually, that I think we need to not, I think that the clinical side of healthcare, we tend to want to push back on calling our patients consumers, right? I actually think it's helpful for us to kind of expand the definition of, again, not just patients, but actual people that we're working with. But as patients, they make a decision to actually access our services, right? To come in and get help for their pain instead of maybe finding a solution on the street, to come in and actually do a preventive service when there's really nothing that they immediately feel that may otherwise get them accessing services, right? But as a consumer, that's then the decision that they make about how they're going to access those services. So I was talking with a friend of mine who had set up this wonderful clinic for urology patients to do screenings and treatment and to really be as community focused as possible. Not a single patient that he was targeting was actually entering his clinics, and they were actually still going to the emergency room. So he set up this entire process to really engage with these patients. they decided, yes, they want those services, but as a consumer, they decided to get them elsewhere. So we need to actually be acknowledging that there are multiple decisions that will be made about how our patients seek us out. And in doing so, we need to make sure we're addressing all of their needs, not just ones that we ourselves prioritize.
Absolutely. So I like to think about, what if things go right? You know, it's so easy to think about, what if things don't go according to plan? So what if things go right here and CityBlock and other organizations who have, you know, this type of focus, who understand the need to feel seen, the need to feel dignity about yourself, and not just for a certain population or a certain group, a certain community, for everyone. When things go right, as CityBlock continues to grow, as the discussion starts to change, and we continue to realize that all of these intentional wording, you know, that we're using, that it's for a purpose. What do you think that looks like? What do you think the future of consumer-centered care looks like when you envision that future?
Yeah, I am quite a proponent of the concept of the quintuple aim, when we're talking about not just achieving outcomes, but making sure we're doing so with patient experience in mind, that we're reducing costs, that we otherwise are finding those efficiencies in the system, that we're acknowledging the needs of the care team in doing so, because we can't achieve outcomes without a care team that is appropriately trained and appropriately incentivized, and of course, appropriately taken care of as far as their own well-being in order to actually achieve those outcomes. And then lastly, the quintuple part is that we're doing so on an equitable basis, and that no matter what background or demographics or zip code a patient comes from, that we're able to do so with equity in mind, not necessarily just equality. It's not about providing equal access, but equitable access, meaning we're actually meeting that member's, that patient's, that community's needs. So the quintuple aim for me is ultimately what we need to seek out. It's obviously very difficult, and there's a lot of complexities involved. But I think, especially in the digital health space, I think there's plenty of opportunity there. I think in traditional healthcare as well, there's a lot of room for improvement in actually probably all 5 points of that quintuple aim. That's at least where I stay focused. It's a nice framework that we should all be aiming for.
I love that, especially because I think there's a recent focus on the podcast here, is to recognize that I've used terms like consumer first or consumer focused or consumer centric, and I've started to modify that to make it clear that that is not at the expense of anyone else in that quintuple aim. That's not at the expense of the clinician. It's not at the expense of anyone else in the system. It's equal. It's considering equally the needs of everyone in this equation. And so I'm changing the language myself a little bit, you know, as we go, just for that same reason, as part of the conversation there. So as we wrap up here, I wonder if there's any message that, if you could share one thing with people who are struggling to navigate the healthcare system, just in general, what would your message be?
Unfortunately, our system is built on kind of a medical model, you know, traditionally, you know, for decades, hundreds of years now, right, where there's a very paternalistic sense to medicine. The medical model is very paternalistic. And I would actually push any people that I'm working with, and all of our CityBlock members definitely, to learn how to seek out resources on how they can be advocates for themselves, to not sit back and expect this traditionally paternalistic system to look out for them in the full holistic sense. Because unfortunately, that's not how it was designed. And I think for an individual patient and their family, and even at the community level, to start advocating for their own needs, to start participating in decisions around how services are established, around how, I don't know, digital health, AI, how all of this is actually coming to help themselves, their communities. I think having their own sense of advocacy so that their needs are actually included in the planning has to be part of the equation. The difficulty in navigation, which I have had myself, which is frustrating to no end, having actually worked in healthcare for decades now, and needing to navigate some things even for my own family members and finding it incredibly difficult, I have needed to step up and be a stronger advocate. I would hope that any person listening can potentially seek out resources on how they can advocate for themselves, or partner with someone like a patient advocate actually to do so for them. Because again, the system is not going to solve their needs without some self-participation and ownership.
Well, thank you so much for that. This conversation has been so enlightening. It's been so validating. And with that, that's a wrap for this episode. We appreciate you giving us so much to think about today. I've had the absolute pleasure of speaking with Dr. Cameron Matthews from CityBlock. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Jared.
Thanks for tuning in. If you like what you heard, please spread the word. Tell your colleagues to tune in for all the awesomeness, then leave a review on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. This show is produced by Shift Forward Health, the channel for changemakers. Subscribe to Shift Forward Health on your favorite podcast app, and you'll be subscribed to our entire library of shows. See our full lineup at shiftforwardhealth.com. One subscription, all the podcasts you need, and it's all for free. And remember, we might have a lot of work to do in healthcare, but we'll get there faster together. Thanks again.